With less than a week to go before the papal plane touches down at Washington DC's Andrews Air Force Base at the start of Pope Benedict's historic visit to America, organisers stateside are putting the finishing touches on preparations which have been underway for months. Catholic bishops have been on the front line preparing people for the visit, providing a wealth of teaching materials in English and Spanish, as well as the more prosaic details about tickets and transportation to papal events. The Bishops' Conference will be providing live streaming of those events on its website, plus a host of other blogs, photos, background information, audio and video files to offer complete coverage to as wide an audience as possible. Catholic schools have been busy with students writing songs, videos, even designing skateboards to welcome the Pope to America. But what will be the main issues on the agenda during the April 15th to 20th pastoral visit to Washington, D.C. and New York? And what kind of welcome is the Catholic community preparing for Pope Benedict, who'll be marking the third anniversary of his pontificate during this trip?
People are very excited, especially those who are going to get into the events. It's not easy. It's the post-9/11 world. Security is unbelievably difficult.
Award-winning journalist David Gibson is a former colleague here at Vatican Radio and author of two books on the American Church and the papacy of Benedict XVI. He now lives and works in Brooklyn, New York, from where he's been keeping a close eye on the build-up to this trip.
Well, there's really a great sense of anticipation, as there is before any papal visit to the United States. Obviously, there's also not just anticipation and enthusiasm, but really there's a great deal of curiosity about who Benedict XVI is. You know, people, you had this kind of media image of him, obviously, for so many years when he was head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and people have a real sense now that they've gotten to see him, at least, you know, remotely through television clips, et cetera, from Rome, that he may not be the man that they thought he was, certainly not as Pope. So there's a real curiosity and, you know, to discover, in a sense, on our own, who he is, what he's like, what he's going to say.
He traveled to the U.S. on several occasions, didn't he, as head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, to meet with bishops and so on. But what kind of welcome, then, do you think he's likely to get from the American people?
His welcome this time around, I think, will be quite warm, probably a good deal different than it was when he came here a few times. I think he visited the United States about five times, all, as you say, for church-related events or academic lectures, things like that. So he hasn't had a lot of on-the-ground experience in the United States, seeing U.S. Catholics kind of up close and personal. And also, many of those visits, a couple of those visits at least, were marked by protests of some of his lectures, that kind of thing, that were related obviously to his role and his reputation as head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. I think his reception is obviously going to be a good deal different this time. People are very excited, especially those who are going to get into the events. It's not easy. It's the post-9/11 world. Security is unbelievably difficult. I know a lot of people, even in my parish, some slightly older people who were really hoping they'd won the lottery for the handful of tickets we had, but they just couldn't fulfill the requirements of getting to the Mass, to it, Yankee Stadium in New York in this case, in time. So it's real. People are looking forward to seeing him in person, I think, above all. There are going to be some protests. Already, I think the American Atheists sent out a press release just yesterday saying they were going to protest the Pope, but I don't know how large a protest that will amount to. The one thing about America is that there aren't that many atheists. It's really, the challenge for Benedict is really not so much to convince people to believe in God or even to be Christian, but to answer the question of why they should be Catholic.
That's a very interesting point, isn't it? We heard the ambassador, Marianne Glendon, the ambassador to the Holy See from the States, noting just recently what a large percentage of Americans today are Catholic, and growing numbers of those, of course, are immigrants from Latin America. But tell us a little bit about this Catholic makeup of the States.
Yes, you're right. It's a really, there's both stability and diversity and transformation going on in the church in the United States. Nearly a third of all Catholics are Latinos at this point, many of them, most of them immigrants, a lot from Mexico. that's the future of the church. I think almost half of Catholics between the ages of, say, 18 and 29, young people, the next, the coming generation, are Latinos already. So there's that transformation going on. But there's also, you know, there's also some falling away on the part of young people on one hand, and also a certain diminishment of the practice of the faith in some of the old line cities. I mean, the part of, in the Northeast, I would say Boston, New York, Philadelphia, that kind of thing, which was really the Catholic heartland for so long. And it's a bit of an irony, Pope Benedict is going to be visiting Washington and New York, which has been traditionally kind of the East Coast bastion of Catholicism. But in a sense, the future of the church is to the South and the West. The demographic trends on all levels, in every category in the United States, are kind of moving that way. And you see that with Catholicism as well, which is why Cardinal DiNardo, Archbishop DiNardo of Houston, was made a cardinal recently. That's a very significant move.
Are you expecting many Catholics from other parts of the country, as you say, the South and the West, to be traveling up to New York and Washington to take part in some of these events?
There will be a good number of various contingents from around. It'll be really small pockets of Catholics from as many dioceses as possible. They really were trying to get as much representation of the entire country because of the fact that Benedict is going just to these two cities and just on the eastern seaboard. It's a difficult thing because you're trying to get a contingent from all over the country, but that means you also have to reduce the number of people locally here in Brooklyn or in Manhattan or in Washington, D.C., Maryland or Virginia that can actually are actually part of the local church that he's visiting.
Now, John Paul II traveled to the U.S., I think it was a total of 7 times. Has there been much talk in the preparation for this trip about the legacy of those visits? And do you think there will be much comparison of Pope Benedict with his predecessor?
Yeah, I think comparisons are inevitable. I mean, I have to make them. Everyone has to make them. They can be invidious comparisons or they can be useful comparisons. I mean, people knew John Paul II and loved him. He was the one who traveled here for 5 really extensive pastoral visits and took the United States by storm. Again, his first visit to the United States came just a year after his election. He went to 7 cities and gave 63 speeches. Benedict XVI is coming to the United States for the first time after 3 years. Since his election, and he'll be visiting 2 cities and giving, I think, 12 speeches. So there's just a difference already in the amount of energy. John Paul was 58 when he was elected. Benedict XVI was 78 years old when he was elected. But again, some people will be expecting John Paul II in a different guise, or will be disappointed if that's what they don't get. On the other hand, it's very useful to compare the two men to prepare, I think, people for a different style of pontificate and a different style of visit. This is a visit where people are going to have to listen intently. I think Joaquin Navarro-Valls said it well when he said of Benedict, this is a pontificate of concepts and words and not great gestures and symbols. There will be those gestures and symbols. He's going to Ground Zero. That's going to be a phenomenal visit. People will be riveted by that, and really by the fact that when he goes to Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan, he's not going to say anything. He's just going to pray silently and meet with some of the relatives of the victims of that terrible tragedy. So there will inevitably be a great deal of theater that surrounds this, and enthusiasm, etc. But people are going to see Benedict as a real teacher, and I think that's going to be effective in its own way.
The words he says, as you say, the speeches are not perhaps quite so easy to portray in the media as these grand gestures, the pictures, the captions, and so on. What kind of treatment has the media been giving this trip so far?
Well, I think they've been giving it pretty good treatment. They're trying to cover as many different angles as possible. There have been complaints about it, again, complaining that people are comparing Benedict to John Paul II. Again, I think that's natural. It's a good way to prepare people for the kind of person that Benedict is, to prepare them to listen to what he has to say. But I think, you know, inevitably, it's going to be difficult for both sides, really, because Benedict will present a very, in many respects, complex message that's not easily translated into voice bites. And the media is you know, going to be looking for a lead that they can write to a story. And the usual suspects of abortion, gay marriage, contraception, genetic testing, things like that, whenever Benedict touches on those issues, those are going to be easy headlines to write and easy things to do. So it's going to be a challenge, I think, for both sides, both for the Vatican and the Pope to present his message and for the media to pick up on that message.
President George W. Bush is welcoming the Pope to the White House. It's only the second time, I believe, that a Pope has ever been to the U.S. President's office. Is that right?
Yeah, It's an interesting kind of quirk of history. I mean, the reason is that the Vatican and the United States didn't have full diplomatic relations until 1984 under John Paul II and President Ronald Reagan. So when Popes, well, I guess Paul VI in 1965, and then John Paul II on his first visit in 1979, they weren't met by the president. The president usually dispatched the first lady or something to go meet them, because you're talking about the president couldn't meet a head of state officially with a state with which the United States did not have diplomatic relations. So it is an interesting kind of quirk of diplomatic history that really this is only the second time that a pope will have visited the White House. And of course, it's a bit problematic. This is the middle of a presidential election year, in case you hadn't noticed. a lot of ink about that, and obviously the Democratic contest between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton is still in full swing. Just there'll be a key, again, presidential primary in Pennsylvania, a very big state, just 2 days after Benedict leaves. So the Holy Father has to navigate these shoals a bit. He's going to go visit a president whose invasion of Iraq was not welcomed by the Vatican or Cardinal Ratzinger himself at all. And he's got to, you know, he wants to get his message about, you know, the just war criteria and respecting international norms and human rights without appearing to show up as host. So it's a very delicate juncture, but it's also an interesting, it'll be one of the more interesting, I think, events.
The first big crowd event comes on Thursday at this new National Stadium in D.C. Can you tell us a little bit more about this venue and who's likely to be there? I think there's quite a star-studded lineup, isn't there?
Yeah, I'd love to tell you more about it, but I've never been there. This will be my first visit there. It just opened a couple of weeks ago when the team in Washington, they're called the Nationals, the baseball team there, started playing. This will be the first non-baseball event at this spanking new stadium. So I'm looking forward to it very much, and I think it's going to be the Pope's first real pastoral event, his first big outdoor event. So I think there's going to be a lot of attention to it. It's also going to have, you know, Placido Domingo, the great opera star, Denise Graves, a whole range of musical and other stars and well-known people. And again, it's going to be a balancing act, as I think this whole visit will be for the Vatican and for the Pope, to both recognize and in a sense, incorporate this very celebrity-strewn culture of America, and to try and tap into the great excitement of this visit, but also at the same time to preserve the solemnity and the fact and that this is a mass being celebrated. This is something that Pope Benedict has always been a bit ambivalent about, are these great outdoor events. I think his preference is really to celebrate mass inside in a sacred space like a church, and that's just not possible with these kind of events. And so, you know, again, his liturgical preferences need to be balanced out with the realities of having to accommodate tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who want to participate.
And my thanks there to journalist and author David Gibson, whose online blog Benedictions will be following closely the papal trip to America. And of course, here on Vatican Radio, we'll be bringing you all those events and up-to-the-minute coverage of the Pope's meetings in Washington, D.C. and New York. Oh,